we are experiencing worship. I feel we could pronounce the benediction now from the testimonies and the songs and go home. But not yet. By the way, those two previous slides and those paintings, Tina did those, Tina Schwenke. And she shared that with us, and thank you, Tina. And I said, we could use those on Sunday. No, 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 she says, no, no. I said, yes, we are. So there's one more to go. I enjoy gardening. Although looking at our 1.25 acres at present, you wouldn't think so. Lord, send down rain in good soaking measure. On the odd occasion when it does rain, I'm out there pulling weeds, sometimes directing water into the garden beds or breaking the top crust layer of the soil and allowing the rain to soak in. My gardening, as you might have guessed, is comes in fits and starts. Every so often you think, wow, not quite the Garden of Eden, but I feel good when I bring order to chaos. A long, long time ago, almost in a far-off distant galaxy, I managed to plant a passion fruit vine which did what it was supposed to do, flourish with lush green leaves and blossoms. There was so much fruit that we were giving it away and freezing the excess amounts in ice cubes, in the ice cube trays. And recently I remembered this golden age, this one season of a bumper crop, and I tried to replicate the success. I brought a healthy black passion fruit vine from Bunnings, prepared the soil and planted it. And the prepared soil had some partly decomposed compost, which was a cocktail of house scraps with all types of seeds, including passion fruit. These did well. Lush green leaves and strong stems. I couldn't bring myself to pull out these unintentionally thriving vines. They were left to mingle and grow alongside the intentionally planted passion fruit vine. As the seasons came and went, it became clear that the vines which were not true weren't going to flower, nor were they going to produce fruit. The one which was true struggled because of the competition with the others. The vines did, however, provide a little shade for the side of the shed, but they were meant to do more than that. And so a few weeks ago, I ripped them all out, leaves and branches, onto the compost heap. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, he bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. In this gospel reading, Jesus speaks of vines and branches pruning and producing fruit. You need not be a gardener to appreciate the intended metaphorical image. At the time of writing, around 70 AD, there were signs of division within the early community of faith. The writer of the gospel, through the words of Jesus, was communicating an important message in order to consolidate and strengthen that community. Remaining in and abiding in the vine was crucial for their life. The language of abiding in, or simply being in, expresses a continuing relationship of closeness. In this translation, the Message, the Bible of contemporary language, Eugene Peterson uses the words, live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. The notion of making a home, of finding your heart's true home in Jesus, brings a settled peace to the turmoil that often characterizes our lives. These words of hope and encouragement for the intended listeners, the disciples, the community of the time, and for us now. It is living in this close connectedness, interconnectedness, abiding and resting relationship with Jesus that our relationships are formed, nurtured and grown. In last week's service, Jennifer Battle shared with us another of Jesus' 7 I am statements. I am the good shepherd. And this message was cradled in the words of the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Today, within the gospel reading, we now hear, I am the vine, and you are the branches. This is an expansion of Jesus' last words to his disciples before he leaves them. The time ahead was not looking good, and so these parting instructions of Jesus were designed to guide and encourage the disciples and the community that were hearing these words. For many, today's Bible passages is very familiar. I must admit, in the past, I'd understood this reading to be something harsher and more judgmental. I had been listening with different ears. When I first heard the story and its imagery of vine, branches and fruit, I would take myself down a path of guilt. I beat myself up. Was I to be entangled in the branches that were to be cut off and left to wilt? I heard words of fear, condemnation and judgment. Unless you do this, had I fallen short? Was the fruit and proof of abiding about numbers, who is in and who is out? Was I really grafted to the one true vine as I ought? In hearing these words, fear should not be the thing that motivates us to respond. I don't believe that fear was intended, in fact, quite the opposite. In recent times, rereading this passage, I have gained, hopefully, a more helpful understanding. Important as evangelism is, I don't believe the message is about the number of people who have come to faith. Nor is that of a harsh, judgmental God who cuts off those who fall short of an imagined greater expectation. This reading for me reveals a message of encouragement, hope and love that can be found in our constant, connected relationship with God the Father through the Son, Jesus. From this genuine, supportive relationship, these relationships are grown not only here with each other in this safe space, but in our everyday and beyond. This passage has greater meaning and depth when I hear Jesus' words, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Live in me as I live in you." Grab hold of this as a known given. This is Jesus' big yes of interconnectedness with, in and through us. Surely then, all that we say and do will flow out of this, whatever form, shape or direction that might take. And this is the everyday of what I might suggest is intentionally living in the vineyard, where we grow, where we love and nurture our relationships with each other. This then spills, flows and branches out into the vineyard of our everyday relationships with neighbours, family and friends. 2 weeks ago, Jenny and I spent a few days with a couple we've known for over 50 years. We'd arranged to meet at the Seal Rocks Caravan Park, aptly named Reflections. Peter and I first met at the Marconi School of Wireless in Sydney. We both followed careers with somewhat parallel but separate. We became radio operators in the Merchant Navy, followed by long careers in television. Our family paths would cross from time to time. We would compare and share stories of family, work and life in general. Over the years, our catch-up was sporadic, a bit like my gardening efforts. When we did connect, it was like it was just yesterday, remembering, sharing, respecting and valuing our friendship. 2 years ago, Peter and Diane came up for a few days during the Country Music Festival. We talked, laughed, went to a few concerts and once again shared our stories and, yes, comparing our various age-related health issues, as you do. The year before, Peter had been diagnosed with prostate cancer. He had options and he chose not to mess around, playing a wait-and-see game. Surgery was the path he chose and it was the right choice. Over one of our meals, a conversation started on how and where we spend our time. I had a pretty good idea of both their views on God and church. Peter confirmed this by saying that he didn't believe in God and that the Bible's just all stories, some made up. Diane had seen hypocrisy through someone she knew. What she saw in this person worshipping in church on Sunday did not translate into their life, into their words and into their actions. So many have turned away from an intentional relationship with God for a whole host of reasons. Both Jenny and I assured them that their understanding and belief did not alter or change our long-term friendship, which it hasn't. Our recent time together at Seal Rocks confirmed this. It was more talking, sharing our stories, laughing, fishing, didn't catch anything, and having meals together. But guess what? The conversation which started 2 years ago continued, not forced or contrived, but drifted into. Peter had been a consultant and involved with the construction of television and sound studios over the years. He says his clients are prepared to pay him generously for his time. I guessed and suggested an hourly rate. He said, yep, that's about right, and a bit more. When I mentioned how, when I was invited to preach in congregations other than Southside, I was paid that same amount for 20 hours, and this included travel, there was a silence of disbelief. Really? Yep, that's what you do, that's what I do. I then talked about sermon preparation and how most mainstream churches use the Revised Common Lectionary of 4 set readings for each Sunday. I didn't get too boring. After all, it was Peter's belief that these were all just stories. I explained how I tried to make relevant these stories from the Bible, written 2,000 years ago, and others which go back even further. I was waiting for their eyes to glaze over in disinterest, but they didn't. They listened. After a while, they both expressed an interest in attending one of the services I was involved in and hearing what I had to say. That was quite a compliment. This confirmed the respect that we have for each other and the valued place in our friendship. And the value that we place in our friendship, this story will no doubt continue. And folks, it's all about relationships. Abide in me as I abide in you. Whilst living in the vineyard, expect the unexpected. I still wonder about the being cut off and thrown into the fire bit. Being separated, removed, can be harsh. This is indicated here in this reading. The threat of rejection and isolation does not bear thinking about. There are many who live in fear of shadows, disconnectedness, parents with custody issues for their children, and a fear of not having access to them. Some have fear of finishing work, surely because it's time to retire. In this is there a fear of loss of purpose in their life. All these, in a sense, being cut off, pruned from what was. There are some faith traditions who place an overemphasis on oughts, musts and shoulds, and with this create a fear of being cut off and rejected. It would seem that the offer of God's unconditional love is diminished in those particular communities. I experienced such a conversation a few years ago when two gentlemen came door knocking. We started to discuss our faith and belief in Jesus, God and the work of the Holy Spirit. We seemed to be on fairly safe and common ground. The conversation got around to salvation. Despite sharing our conversation and the conviction, the question was asked, how do you know that you are saved? How do you know, how do you really know that you will be in eternity when you leave this life? Do you have an assurance? I thought, did we not just talk about this? It seemed this particular community was saying that there is another layer of acceptance, a truer way. It was an inference that we heard what you said, but we can offer an assurance that believing our way will guarantee life in eternity. I knew we were not going to progress in our differences. I offered a blessing and they went on their way. If you were to ask me what consistent faith message would I like to make, it would be that God is reaching out to all humankind, you and I, seeking and wanting all to be in relationship, connected to him. God says, come, sit and spend time with me. Let's talk and listen to one another. Listen in the stillness. Listen to the world around us together. Rest and abide. Stay connected. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. It is out of this growing relationship and connectedness that a fruit is grown. And that fruit is love. This is the product of being joined to Christ. For me, it is this that Jesus speaks of in the reading that Sam read to us earlier. Dear friends, let us love one another, because all love originates in God. Everyone who truly loves is able to do so because of a relationship with God. God has given birth to them, and they are well acquainted with God. Those who do not love certainly do not know God, because God is love. God's love was made known to us in the act of sending the one and only Son of God into the world so that through him we might find authentic life. It is this love which flows out of this connectedness and abiding in Christ. Pruning, as we know, is a means of improving the strength and vitality of the grapevine, in fact of most plants. Roses respond well to heavy pruning, cutting out old wood and encouraging the new season shoots by trimming them. One well-known TV personality, Gardner, once confessed that he used a chainsaw. I've not been game enough to try that. Jesus, knowing that his time was running out in these final farewell conversations, was preparing and passing on to his followers a model and a way of living that would help them in the work that he had called them to do. This meant being in a close, day-to-day relationship with him. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you, says Jesus. Remain in me and I will remain in you. It is this abiding, intimate and connected relationship that enables us to hear the voice of God in the prompting of the Spirit more clearly. This would then become an outward expression of our witness and service. I've heard members of our congregation say, I was led to call in and see a particular person. This has been prompted by a sense of God's call, nudge, the prompting of the Spirit. From time to time, Jenny and I have received a message call or an email which, with words along the lines, you have both been in our mind for the past few days. Just thought I'd let you know that you are in our prayers. This call has been timely from a person who abides, rests, and has Jesus living in them. Being connected to and abiding in Christ enables the ministry and work of God's Spirit to be more effective. Experiencing worship in many forms and places is another expression and witness to the work of the Spirit. There's also a network of support and connection which takes place within the congregations, and Jeremy has talked about that. It is hard to quantify and define, but God is at work drawing, growing, and leading us forward. Planted, watered, nurtured, drawing upon the goodness and being connected in the vineyard of every day grows a fruit within each of us. Love is the natural fruit of this connectedness with Jesus and God the Father. The fruit of love helps us to engage with others and the world at large. And so we now rely on the love of God that God has for us in 1 John. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because God first loved us. For us, there will always be real challenges in the words that we read and hear from the Bible, and today's passage is no exception. It might be easier to connect with and be in relationship with those who think the same as us rather than connecting with and loving the seemingly unlovely. There are challenges living in the vineyard, another metaphor for world. It can be too easy to say, this is all too hard, or take the bits that are easy out. Or take in, that was reversed, take in. Thank you, take in the bits that are easy. Maybe in part I've done this today. God knows our full potential, the intimacy of our relationship with him through Christ, and the influence we can have through the love shown to us. It's as if God is saying, you are not alone, together we can do this. And finally, it's interesting and worthy of note that the last verse of John 14, the one that precedes today's reading, concludes with, arise, let us go from here. Arise, let us go from here. What will be our challenge this morning as we go out from here? Let us pray. We praise you, Heavenly Father, you who planted us in this life and forever tends us as your own. May we continue to be grafted to the one true vine, so that by your Spirit we may all be bound together, held and affirmed as one community, an image of your presence and an expression of your love. Amen.